Oh God, help us to understand what it means to be a man of God. And may we prepare ourselves during these days to be truly thine as we find our way into ministry, as we understand the issues of life in our time, and as we relate to people who need our help. Be our strength, our guide, our purpose, and guide our destiny. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wish to read from the 11th through the 14th verses of 2 Timothy. God has appointed me to proclaim the good news as an apostle and teacher, and it is for this reason that I suffer these things. But I am still full of confidence, for I know whom I have trusted, and I am sure that he is able to keep me safe until that day, to keep safe until that day what he has entrusted to me. Hold to the true words that I taught you as the example for you to follow, and stay in the faith and love that are ours in union with Christ Jesus. Keep the good things that have been entrusted to you through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I want to share some ideas this morning about a place for involvement for the man of God. A friend has made an interesting observation about ministry. He saw two different persons die. He was with them in the process of dying. One was a scientist, the other an illiterate black man. Both died in precisely the same manner. My friend says that he decided that the only thing which really matters in Christian living is what one does to help others. So he wants to spend his life serving people as pastor. From those who have revolted against today's establishments, we hear emotion-packed calls for involvement in ministry outside the organized church. They tell us that satisfaction in ministry comes only outside the church. The church is dragging its feet. It doesn't know its ministry or its mission. These apostles of involvement, who are really Christianity's prophets of doom, ridicule ministers who choose to be pastors of churches. I believe that God has given to each person whom he calls to Christian ministry such gifts as can be used effectively in some form of ministry in contemporary society. I do not believe that all ministers should be pastors. I do believe that each minister should seek and discover for himself God's appropriate ministry for his own personality and gifts. There are many areas of human need today which call for the services of Christian ministers, some inside the church and others outside the church. As you probe for your life ministry, I hope you will give fair and honest consideration to all of these ministries, including the pastoral ministry. I hope that you who are seniors will be involved here next week with Truman Smith in the discussions that are to take place on Tuesday afternoon and evening. Consider that foreign missions ministry and every other ministry that offers an opportunity. Don't let some confused prophet of doom, however, prejudice you against becoming a pastor or anything else. Don't let some over-enthusiastic pastor mislead you into being a misfit pastor when God needs you in some ministry outside the organized church. I hope I have made my position clear at this point. And now I want to spend the remainder of these few moments calling your attention to a place for involvement, a place that I have been involved in myself this summer. This is Life 1970 in a country church near Wake Forest. I know the people personally. I have worked with them since February in search for a pastor. Last Sunday, one of our graduates accepted a unanimous call to be their pastor. Last Sunday, attendance at Sunday school was 238. The offering was $907.48. This year, the church has a budget of $53,000. They give $1,000 per month to the cooperative program, plus generous amounts in the form of special offerings to support our Baptist work. Statistics? This depends upon the mentality of the person who asks the question. Those figures on a board in the church are not statistics to the people there. They are a statement of living faith. They are evidence of an honest search for the reality of God in Jesus Christ. They are an expression of sorrow and joy. They are a concern about people, one another in the community and the world. They represent and speak on behalf of a group ministry for Jesus Christ. Statistics, for the minister who works with the people in that church, they are not just figures. They are evidence of the saving grace of God flowing into society through the passions, thoughts, sufferings, frustrations, failures, successes, and sense of destiny of a society of sinners who constitute a congregation. Within the life struggles of these people, a minister is caught up and pressed forward in serving every expression of human need. His becomes an involvement which lifts him out of himself and carries him far beyond his human wisdom and strength in daily acts of Christian service. Doing what? Here are a few illustrations of his life activity. A truck driver ignored caution warnings and crashed into a highway construction worker, tearing his body to pieces. The minister found his wife in a state of shock and assisted in saving her life when she fainted. A son-in-law had to be called in from halfway around the world, Vietnam, for a funeral. Widow, children, and friends cried out to the minister for an explanation of such tragedy, death, for faith and for hope. The minister had to give his whole mind and soul in involvement with these people as they raised questions and tried to find answers. An alcoholic in this community died a slow death over a period of many months. Five children, ranging from 5 years of age to 23 years of age, and a widow demanded the best from their pastor for many months afterwards. A high school junior disappeared from the community, and for 2 weeks his mother did not know whether he was dead or alive. And for months the minister had to work faithfully with son and mother until a new relationship was created and a young kick out on society got a hold of himself and found something to live for. The church treasury was running low. Minister and deacon sent a two-sentence letter to all members of the church. The following Sunday morning, the offering amounted to more than $1,200, and there came a new surge of activity throughout the life of the church. A 54-year-old man died unexpectedly. On Friday afternoon, friends of the family filled the church sanctuary at the time of the funeral. Almost the whole community was there. The following day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 40 persons met at the home of the widow and worked all afternoon harvesting his tobacco crop. Conflict. I hear people make interesting observations about these small communities. Within a short distance of the church, this year, 1970, a white person has killed a black man has killed a white man. Young militant blacks burned buildings one night valued at more than $1 million. Black Panthers came to the town nearby with a car load of explosives to destroy the new high school building that takes care of more than 1,000 pupils. At a KKK rally in a field near the church, one local citizen had the courage to stand up and ask the Grand Dragon in North Carolina some embarrassing questions which broke up the meeting and turned purpose violence into riot. Would you call this an opportunity for involvement in social issues for their minister? Private schools, yes. A new one just built at a cost of $70,000, 1 mile from the church house. Every family in that community with children is having to make decisions about private or public education. They're having to determine their Christian approach or unchristian approach, their philosophy of the place of education in America. Do you think this puts the minister on the spot and gives him something to do in involvement? Concern about the world? A highlight this year in that church has been a visit by a member of parliament from India, halfway around the world, with another responsible Indian leader present. The people entertained these two world citizens all day one day, showed them every aspect of life in their community, and in the evening assembled for a community-wide dinner at the church, followed by a two-hour dialogue about life in India and America. Nobody made a speech. The people just sat and talked, and questions were raised and answers were given both ways. Young people in love and thinking about marriage, weddings, premarital counseling, yes. Several during this year already. One of these involved a Baptist woman, a Roman Catholic man, two Catholic priests, and two Baptist ministers. This was a learning experience for a lot of people, including the pastor. Youth, they are numerous in this community, and they provide every form of challenge. They have a large percentage of their high school graduates in college. There are at least three mothers in the community who are heartbroken about their rebel hippie sons. An 18-year-old young chap fine young chap has recently learned that he is a diabetic. A 20-year-old has an incurable stomach ulcer already. It was high school graduation time. Two families got together and invited the 10 graduating high school seniors to their home for a breakfast. The minister was there. And then everybody went from there together to Sunday school and worship. Fellowship. During the summer months, there are family reunions on the church grounds almost every Sunday after worship. The minister is always the guest of honor. On a Saturday afternoon, 350 people gathered for a community-wide event, a tradition which dates back as long as the oldest person living there can remember. The men cooked and served 75 gallons of home-cooked Brunswick stew, along with all the extras. Family problems, they have every kind that one can find anywhere in today's society. Spiritual growth, this church has three sons and one daughter in the Christian ministry, all of them in responsible churches in North Carolina. About four Sundays ago, two of these ministers were in the worship service, visiting their relatives. A meeting with the 16 deacons of that church can demonstrate what Christian maturity can be like in today's world, as they sit and argue for 2 or 3 hours about church activity and policy. And a time of participation at church conference can also indicate how a deacon who is moderator knows as much about good rules of order as anybody I have ever seen. And the people stand up and speak up, and they settle matters in a truly democratic way and in Christian spirit. Prayer in that community, life is saturated with a sense of need for prayer. I remember visiting one day a man who has been ill off and on for 7 or 8 years. He's had surgery 3 or 4 times. And I had hardly spoken to him before he asked me if I would please pray before I left. They expect their minister to use the Bible and share with them in prayer, not only when there's illness or tragedy, but sometimes they even want a prayer of thanksgiving when something especially good has happened to them. Emotions. There are two basic human emotions which I believe have been choked off too much in the churches today: laughter and weeping. The people in this church laugh together and cry together. The chairman of the pulpit committee is a very interesting person. He's a deeply spiritually minded Christian, takes his Christian life very seriously, but he also has a keen sense of humor. And he keeps the church in the process of announcing to them about their visits with ministers and the work of the committee and so on. He keeps the church laughing 1 minute and crying the next. I remember saying something in a sermon one Sunday about population growth and some of the problems coming therefrom, and I pointed out that some demographers had met in Rome a few years ago, and they made a study and decided that if the present trends in population growth should continue, by the year 3064, there would be only 4 square feet of standing space on the land area of the earth per human being. That's 2 foot this way and 2 foot this way. When I got out on the grounds after worship, this same person, the chairman of the pulpit committee, was standing beside the largest woman in the church, measuring her off and kidding her about not having anywhere to stand. And this is typical. Everything that goes on is colored with both laughter and, if necessary, the other emotion, weeping. And I have not seen anybody out of line. I have seen a balance between the two that gives me encouragement about the Christian religion. Now, this is only a glimpse at what's going on in the life of one church. Involvement, it is there. Variety of experience, these people provided. A challenge to service, these people are capable of loving their pastor and to doing his best. An adversary to test one's strength, he is always close by. Perhaps you need another kind of ministry, one which will not involve you so broadly or deeply in the human struggle. Examine your capabilities, motivation, durability, limitations, toughness for criticism, concern and love for people, and then do what God is calling you to do. Don't let anybody else tell you or prejudice you about what God wants you to do. In selecting and engaging in your ministry, be fair with others who find their satisfaction in other ministry, including the broad and intense involvement which only a congregation of sinners can provide. May we stand? O God, we pray that in this seminary, all of us may help to create an atmosphere wherein every person under God's leadership can find God's ministry for himself. In Jesus' name.